Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. I'm blessed to light up your day with an inspiring woman, Diana Chaloux-Lacert. Diana is a 2-time world champion fitness athlete, professional speaker, 5-time published author, and a wealth of knowledge in health, fitness, and entrepreneurship. She is the co-CEO of HitchFit Online Personal Training and HitchFit Transformation Gym in Kansas City with her husband, Micah. They also host SoulFit retreats together where they lead through faith, fitness, and fun. Diana's passion for the past 25 years is all about helping her clients by providing the tools they need to embrace whole body well-being. She's personally coached thousands of people all around the globe to transform their lifestyles and achieve their fitness goals and lose a collective total of over 600,000 pounds. Wow. Now, if you thought all of that was cool, this is even cooler. More than 10% of all revenue goes to charitable causes, including their school sponsoring children in Haiti, which they have been supporting since 2012. It's an absolute honor to have you on the show today, Diana. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that nice introduction.
I know. I'm feeling pumped up over here now that we're getting this going. And, you know, as I mentioned before we hit recording, like, we see all of these successes as I just lined up here. But as we peel back the layers on all of these successes, whether it's anybody out there, they had to go through these trials and tribulations to get to those points. So I would love to spark off this conversation here with, you know, your backstory and some of those early experiences and struggles even that shaped you into who you are today.
Yeah, I love that you do that because it's so true. Like, we all just come from somewhere, and it's like, you know, you can see that, you can see those things, but it's like, man, there's a root to all of them. And so for me, I grew up in Vermont, so very small town, very kind of humble beginnings, and loved growing up in a small town and loved growing up in New England. It was absolutely beautiful. I tell people something that is a little surprising when they know me now. I was an extremely shy kid. I was painfully, painfully shy, like, to the point where in high school, if you would call on me in class, I would almost have a panic attack because I was so nervous to, like, you know, it was probably just fear of what people would think and, you know, just insecurity and lack of confidence. But I was incredibly shy kid. And which, you know, now people are like, what? Like, that's crazy. I'm like, nope, true story. I have a really fun story that I like to share that is one of the pieces that pushed me from a place of lacking confidence into a place of having a lot more confidence in myself. And it was actually for me in college. My parents were divorced when I was in college. It was a really, really tough time for me personally. It was a tough time for my sisters. It was just a really, really rough patch. And I was 20 years old when all of that was happening and just having to to process what that meant of like my family no longer being together and what that was going to look like. It was, you know, anyone that's gone through the divorce of parents understands, like, regardless of what your age is, like, there's a, it's just can, it's a really tough thing to go through. So I was invited by a group of friends that actually went to a different school. They actually in New York to go to California for spring break. And I had never really been anywhere. I'd been to Maine, you know, we drove up to Maine for family vacations, but I had not traveled at all. So this seemed like this amazing thing that I could go and I could do something and like get away from, you know, kind of a way to just escape all of the stuff that was happening at home. And so even though this trip was not even at the same time as my school's spring break, and even though I had no money, so I was like, how am I going to pay for a plane ticket? And I figured it out. I was like, I'm going to say yes to this opportunity, and I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to go and see what happens. And saying yes to that was such a pivotal thing for me. So we ended up going to California. And one of the things that we did, which college kids do in California, was we went on The Price is Right. That was going to be our thing that we did. And we actually got rejected on the first day that we were there. We weren't there early enough, so we didn't make it into the studio. And I was so devastated because I had told people at home, I'm going to California and I'm going to win a car on The Price is Right. Literally, those words came out of my mouth. And so I was like, man, we got it. We got to be able to do this. So we got this really, really cheap. There was like, how many of us? There was six or seven girls. We bought this really shady hotel room for the night that was near the studio. We're like, we're going to try again. We're going to stay overnight in this hotel. We crammed into this tiny hotel room. We got up super early the next day. We were some of the first people in line and we got in for the taping. And guess who got called down to the stage? Guess who got on the stage and won a car on The Price
Oh
is
my
Right?
God.
Yeah, so it completely changed. You talk about moments in your life that completely change your thinking. That for me, winning a car on The Price is Right was a massive one. And it wasn't just because of winning. It was like I remember that moment and I watch the video back now and I remember exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, I can't believe something good just happened with all of this chaos happening in my life. And I also was like, I felt seen for the first time. And I felt like, oh, like this small town girl from Vermont can actually go out and be seen in this world. And I actually can do things. So it sparked such a belief in myself that I'd never had before. And it kind of catapulted me into the things that came for the future. But yeah, I don't think everybody has to win a car on The Price is Right to have that moment. But for me, that was what God gave me as this, hey, I see you and there's more for you. So just like step up that confidence.
Yeah, that's amazing. And first off, I would have never assumed you would be more of a quiet, introverted type of person knowing you now, but I was actually the same way, like never wanted to raise my hand. The social anxiety crept in and, you know, it took over a lot of times as well. So, I definitely feel you on that. And then hearing how all of this, it's almost like, I mean, this is a trendy word, but like you manifested that a little bit. It's like you were so certain that you're gonna be on The Price is Right. You're gonna be the one that gets called. You're gonna be the one that actually wins something there. Like you put all of that together in that strong belief. And so I'm curious, like with that transitional point, how did that belief in yourself start carrying over into other areas of your life?
Yeah, it really, I started doing things that I was scared of doing before.
Mm.
And I would say from that point on, after saying that yes, because I could have said no to that. And when I look back and I'm like, there was plenty of reasons I could have said no. And for me, it's like, what I always think of it from a business, from a business standpoint, is there's like opportunity cost, which is the cost of our, you know, the cost of saying yes or the cost of saying no to something. What's the opportunity that we miss out on? And I think of how much opportunity I would have missed out on if the fear of not having enough money, if the fear of skip, you know, missing those classes at school, which I paid the money, I made up the classes, you know, it was all fine, but it really made me say think differently about what I said yes to and what I stepped into. And it shifted my fears from being afraid of doing things to being afraid of more afraid of missing out on what could be if that fear held me back. And I've literally led my entire life until since that time, stepping into things that like seemed scary, but I was like, I would rather do this and be scared and see what happens, because first off, then I'm not scared of it anymore if I do it. But two, I'm more afraid of getting to, whatever age or whatever time of my life and being like, what if I had said yes to that? Like, what if I had stepped into that? What if I had just not been afraid and done that? So it every literally I've lived my life of, if it was moving, if it was just doing something, this conference, we just hosted our first conference. That was a huge, scary thing for me to have to figure out how to do a conference. But I was more fearful of, if the Lord tells me to do this and I'm like, nah, I'm too scared, what am I missing out on if I say, if I say no instead of yes? So that shift for me started on that Price is Right stage, and it literally transformed the rest of my life.
That's amazing and super inspiring for out there listening to just take that leap in whatever it is, because there's this motto that I've been really adopting in my life the past 2 months now, as I've been hearing it more and more, is that fear is a mile wide but an inch deep. And so we're going to have all of these, anxieties of what could happen, these fearful thoughts that prevent us from taking any action. But when we take that first step, we're like, oh, this is just an inch. Like, I can keep on going. I can keep on taking more steps, but that first step is always the hardest step. And, I actually had a similar experience last February in New York, where I went out to a trip where I got sponsored as one of the people for the event. So that came out of nowhere in the first place. And so then I had to figure out my flight off of like a week and a half, 2 week notice going to New York for my first time. That was all like just figuring it all out on the spot and very scrambled for someone who's not like a seasoned traveler or anything like that. So I'm figuring all of that out, extending my trip, finding someone to, I'm like, hey, do you know anyone that has a spot in New York that could, stay with them a little bit or something, or they're out? Ended up finding a really nice spot. And, after all this event, I actually met Heather Monahan, and she thought I lived in New York. And she goes, hey, I'm going to this NBC studio on Tuesday. This was on Saturday. She goes, I'd love for you to join us there. And I told her, like, I'm going to be traveling home. But then she gave this inspiring speech, and I'm like, I gotta do it. So I'm like, hey, I'm actually gonna be in the area. And so I flew back home on Sunday, came back home on Monday. It was like I couldn't change my flight or anything, but that was all this really scary bet on myself that I had to do. And we made it happen. And, that day was such a eye-opening experience. Like, I got to the studio before her, I met her there. Like, all of it was like a little. It was my first time meeting her, so I was like, is this actually going to happen? Am I just doing all this for nothing? But I just kept on pushing forward, similar to what you did with the Price is Right. You made it happen, and that shifted my belief so much, just like it shifted your belief to know that, hey, things typically happen better than we can imagine. And instead of thinking about all of those things that, could happen that are fearful, why not just flip in the script and go into that positive side? Because it's a much more exciting way to live, and then you're going to be more adaptable and more willing to, take those first steps.
Yeah, that's such a cool story. And literally it's just that same thing. So now that you've done it, like when those opportunities come again, like you're not like, and now there's less fear. So I always just tell people, like, the best way to overcome fear is exposure. Ex when we're exposed to those things that are fearful, then we're like, oh yeah, I don't actually have to be afraid of this. And I can step into this. And it doesn't mean it works out perfectly every time, but there's growth opportunities. If it doesn't turn out as you plan, maybe one door closes, another opens, but there's always something. So it's just, that's beautiful. And that step is probably going to open up so many other opportunities for you too. So that's so cool.
Oh, it already has, and it's like the gift that keeps on giving. So it's like you think about that, it's like, what if I didn't take that? Like, imagine how life would be differently. And it's the cost of inaction as well. Like, you're talking about that opportunity cost. Every yes is a no to something else, but there's also that cost of inaction of not doing it. And it's like, you got to weigh out the pros and cons here. And those are going to be tough decisions to make.
Yes. Yeah. And cost of inaction. Our mutual friend Marcus Collius, he actually gave a great talk on that recently too, of just, yeah, what are we missing out on? People get to the end of their lives and it's not the things that they've done that they regret. It's the things that they didn't do. I mean, they show that over and over in studies. So it's like, man, we got to take that to heart and just jump on in.
So as a two-time world champion fitness athlete, and we're talking about overcoming fears here, I'm curious, do you have any insider tips to developing that mental resilience and that just that overall mental fitness muscle? Because we all talk about the biceps, but it's the mental that really, that's the first place to start, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the first place to start, and I'll share a little bit about that backstory too. So, in my probably, I started my personal physical transformation when I was 27 years old because I'd gotten into some really unhealthy behaviors. I was drinking too much. I was overeating consistently, and I was working in the fitness space. I was a personal trainer, but it was like emotional eating at night and binge eating and just too much, and my body was just headed in this direction that I didn't like. I was gaining weight really quickly. I actually had the opportunity to work for a cruise line for a full year as the fitness director, but on the cruise ship, it was the crew bar, it was buffets, you know, and there's kind of a loneliness to working on it. People, it sounds amazing, but there's also a loneliness to it because people are in and out, whether it's the staff, the people that are there. So, it's, you kind of get lonely in that space too, which I was experiencing. I was experiencing a little bit of, I'll never say I was depressed, but I was fe experiencing feelings of depression, and I was feeding those feelings with just way too much food. I was getting heavier and heavier and heavier. I had these dreams and goals of competing and being in fitness magazines, but every single choice that I was making in my life was pushing me in the exact opposite direction of where I said that I wanted to go. And so in 2005, it was July 5th of 2005, I call it my Independence Day because I had gotten to the to my personal heaviest that I'd ever been. I got off the ship. I was living in Texas and I was working at a gym there, but I felt like a complete fraud because I'm trying to teach people how to be healthy and I had the exercise piece down, but I'm still, my body is not healthy. I mean, my body fat was in a position that was over fat and obese at that point. And, you know, I had a friend come up to me on July 5th. I had gone out to McDonald's the night before. I drank a bunch of beer. So I came into the gym feeling bloated, feeling disgusted with myself. And luckily, a friend said to me, "Hey, Diana, I heard that you wanted to do fitness competitions." And he's like, "What are you waiting for?" And it was those five little words that I was like, "I don't have an answer for that. What am I waiting for?" And I literally that day, it was such a powerful mindset shift for me because before I'd been making all of these excuses of, "Oh, I just like to eat. Oh, blah, 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 blah." I had all of my excuses that weren't getting me anywhere. And so I had that moment and I literally changed everything that day. I hired a coach. I actually hired two coaches to help me figure out nutrition. I hired one of the coaches that was at my gym to push me even more in my workout piece. I signed up for my first competition that day. I signed up for a show that was like 5 months away. I literally, it was like, and I was like, there's no going back. I am so sick and tired of having goals and dreams that I'm not doing the work for. I literally just was like, it was this, so many people, it takes them a long time to change. And I would say it takes time to change until you have that moment. And when that moment happens and your mindset truly shifts, it's like it's go time. I trained, I changed my habits. I got control over the emotional binge eating, which was kind of scary for me. I felt like it had control over me. And to be able to take back control of that habit through the disciplined lifestyle, it was such a freedom for me. And then my body started changing, and I was like, this is incredible. I like when I learned those pieces of how to get my body to do what I wanted it to do by using exercise, but also using nutrition, it was like so cool. I was like, oh, I actually can control all of this. And I ended up winning that first show, which was just validation for me of like, this is the path, I'm on the path. And a lot of people do that and then they go back to the old habits because there hasn't been really a shift in their defaults and their heart sets and their mindsets. For me, it was such an internal shift that I had that I'm almost, this year will be 19 years later, and I've never gone back. Like, I've just never gone back to those behaviors. I never wanted to feel like that again. And instead, I wanted everybody else to feel how good it feels to live a fit and healthy lifestyle and how beneficial, like, that disciplined lifestyle has, it's so led to so much freedom. And yes, there's been world championships. Like, I pursued a lot in the fitness industry over a course of about 7 years, you know, and I did win a lot of shows, including the world championships. I got to be in all the magazines. It's how I met Micah, my husband. It was when we started Hitch Fit. So all of this beautiful stuff came into my life because I was willing to take disciplined actions, and not just for a short period of time, but I was willing to embrace them as part of my lifestyle. I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, it completely changed everything. And people think discipline is going to hold them back. Discipline is what is going to propel you forward. So that's what I've experienced.
Yeah, discipline truly does equal freedom. When you tie it down, you simplify everything to what are my true priorities here and take action on that, and then less does become more, and it opens up opportunities and, you know, that freedom and flexibility to do the things that you want. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about being interested versus being committed, and it sounded like early on that's what it was for you. You were interested. These were things that you wanted to do. But until you heard, what are you waiting for? That's when everything clicked. And you're like, no, I'm making this commitment. I'm hiring the coaches. I'm putting it on the calendar so that I have something that I'm going to be continuously training for. I actually do that with my Spartan races now. And I do it to the point where I can't run it now. So it's something that I have to train. I did a 10K last year. When I signed up, I could only do a 5K. So now I'm doing a 20K. I did the 10K, but I've never done anything more than that. So it's scary, but it's on the calendar. It's something for me to train for, and it's going to keep that consistency for me. So when I get there, I'm not just totally screwed. And because I'm gonna have to do it no matter what. Like, I'm not gonna back out. So, you know, putting those things on the calendar, I actually think that's a great tip for anyone listening to, you know, get that commitment. So I love that you shared that. And something, again, that I hear more and more of, or I just see a lot of, is that, you know, we always want to have that big breakthrough, but we go through the pain first a lot of the times. Like, for me, unexpectedly, I got this big chronic illness, had my entire colon removed, and, you know, that's what decided me or put me on this path of personal development and getting serious with my nutrition and all of that. And, you know, we both kind of went through the pain early on where we're just continuing to go on autopilot mode and go through these same unhealthy habits, but then there's this like big shift. And so I'm curious, based on, you know, all the clients that you've worked with as well, you know, do we really have to go through that pain? Like, is that part of the process, or, you know, is there another way? I know it's a hot
I think,
potato.
yeah, it's honestly, it's, I think that the people that it's pain, I think there's pain regardless of which way you look at it. Like, some people, it's the pain of actually, you know, embracing a healthy lifestyle. They think it's painful to change their eating habits, or there's pain involved with exercise, but there's also pain involved with being unhealthy too. So, I think we have to, like, the breakthroughs we're looking for in life are usually on the other side of the pain. And it's what we're talking about here is literally like I mentioned before, the conference we just held was called Lean In, Level Up. And the reason we called it Lean In, Level Up was because of over the last 15 years of working with so many clients, what we've seen, people might embrace change for a short period of time, but when they don't actually dig in and do deeper work, and dig into painful things. Maybe that's been, a lot of times it's abuse, it's trauma, it's grief, it's fear. When they don't actually dig into those deeper rooted things, we see short-term transformation. And then when there's no shift in the heart and there's no shift in the default settings, and there's no digging into that pain and really doing that work, they go back to the start point. And so that's what we've seen. Early on, I was like, everybody's going to be like me. Everybody's going to be like, man, this is amazing. I never want to go back. It's not true. Like, most people actually, if they don't do that work, which is, I mean, it's painful. It's hard. It's hard to dig deeper. It's hard to look at things we don't want to look at. It's hard to press into things that are hard. A transformation journey is never going to be easy. I'll never say that that process was easy. It was hard. It was painful in a lot of ways, but was it worth it? And it was the path to get to the breakthrough. It absolutely was. So I don't know if we really can have true transformation without digging into the pain is different for everybody, but without actually pressing into that and digging into that, and how did we get to the place where we need breakthrough in the first place? I think it actually is essential that we have to push into that and we have to go through it.
Yeah, and I love that answer because I feel the same way. A lot of times it's easier to avoid it, but something that I learned from my grandpa actually is that we're always going to have problems no matter if we're pushing ourselves and we're successful. You're going to have a lot on your plate at that point, and things are going to be stressful and just it can get overwhelming at times. But then what's the alternative? If you're not successful, you're not doing anything, then you're going to have these financial struggles that those cause big problems as well. So then you're just living this scarcity life. And either way, on both sides, you're going to have problems and you're going to be having to deal with things. But it's like, which one do you want at the end of the day? So that's something that I always think about. It's like, I'm actually grateful for the extra load of work that I have to do now. Like, this is a blessing. So that's just a shift in my perspective that I've learned to use and just like flip the script on situations as well.
Love that.
Yeah. And so now, like with mental health being a part of all of this as well, like that's a big component of, especially being a businesswoman, being a professional athlete, like that comes with these pressures as well and these expectations. So I'm curious for you, how have you been able to maintain a positive mindset and headspace in those high stress situations?
Oh, that's such a great question, because it is, it's something that so many people struggle with. For me, and what I believe are the keys to like our mental health is it's our faith. So first for me, it's, my foundation is in Jesus, and that is my rock. So I spend time with the Lord daily, and that's how I stay grounded. And it's how I stay centered. And when I, and it's not like I stay anytime I'm like, ah, I know where I have to go. I know that I have to get quiet and I have to get with him and I have to keep him as my foundation. And so for me, that's part of my mental health. That's part of my emotional health. That's part of my spiritual health, is making sure that that rock, that foundational relationship, is absolutely as strong as it can be. And then number two is fitness. So it's, for me, it's faith and fitness. And that's why everything we do with our SoulFit retreats, with everything we do, is faith and fitness. And that's why, is because those are our foundational tools. Those are our wrecking ball tools for anything that we have to achieve in life. So fitness for stress and anxiety, exercise, and I believe, and studies show, specifically strength training, especially for both men and women, but women especially, the benefits, the mental health benefits of strength training are unbelievable. God literally created these pharmacies in our bodies that fight anxiety, that fight depression, that help us manage stress and help us to stay in a healthy place mentally. There's these myokine molecules, and I want more people to know about these things too, that when a muscle contracts, they're released into our bloodstream. They literally go to our brains and they act as antidepressants. So God created our bodies in ways that we can stay mentally healthy too. So that's why I'm like, it's a faith first, is that foundational thing, but then we can't forget to take the actions to take care of our physical health, which translates into our mental health too. So that's how I handle everything. It's and there have been really, really high pressure situations, and I get frazzled, and I get anxious thoughts, and I get, even just recently, to be totally honest, like coming off of this conference, it was such a buildup for an entire year. And you're talking about this, and this was literally a week ago for me, where I don't get down too often because I'm very good with my habits. But I was like, Micah was like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, I think it was just because we were here so long, and it was this stress and this pressure and this overwhelm for so long, and then everything went so beautifully, and now I'm just like, wow. And I was like, I am having these feelings of overwhelm and these feelings of like depressive feelings that are not normal for me. And literally, this was just a few days ago, this all went down. And I was like, I have to get back to my foundation. And so when I had a day, finally had a day that I had some time to myself, I went out for a walk. When I'm walking, I listened to sermons. I spent time just, I just took my time. I stopped, I sat on benches, I looked at trees, I listened to sermons. And then I got home and I literally put praise music on, and I went in the back of the house, and I listened to praise and worship music for 2 hours while I looked out over the city. I prayed, I sang. And Micah heard me. I guess he like he has pictures of me. Like, I'm like, don't take pictures of me when I'm doing that. But I came back to the house and it was gone. All of those feelings, they had lifted. And I was so it's like I know what I have to do to get myself back to that headspace. And that's what I did just a week ago. And then I was like, oh yeah, I'm good. We got this. Like, we're cool. So that's how I do it. And I just know how effective that is. It's faith and it's fitness. It's get with the Lord and move your body. That's how you do it.
That's so good. And it really speaks of the awareness that you have of yourself, knowing that when you're in a rut like that or something comes up, you know what to go back to get yourself back to center and come back, because life is always going to strike with these unforeseen events, these curveballs, but it's not about like avoiding those because we just can't. Things are out of our control, but it's how quickly do we come back to center? How much do we bounce back? So just sharing how you do it, like other people can take parts of that and then they can fuse their own unique things. I personally love going out in nature myself. And, I actually had a really stressful day yesterday. I like to hit my workouts in the morning, but I missed it yesterday. I just had some stuff to do. So at 4 p.m., I'm like, I'm just gonna go hit a workout right now just to like get my mind right and just reset a little bit. So I did that. Felt so much better, and it was just like the day, it was like a new day at like 5 p.m. So it was just cool to get that reset and have ways to, just have in your toolkit. That's what I always talk about is like when you're feeling this way, have a solution for it and then keep moving forward. You don't have to stay in that same spot for, a couple hours, a day, a week. Like it can snowball on us sometimes.
Yes, and I think it does for a lot of people. So that's so good. It's just those tools, and then you have to do it. Like when you're like, I know this is what I need to do, even if it doesn't feel good to start it, it's always going to feel good once you get going. And like you said, like strength training, if I'm ever having a stress day, I'm like, I just need to hit the weights. Hit the weights. Yep, everything's good. Like it completely changes your perspective. It changes your body's physical state. It's just people who have high stress in their lives, like I'm like, you have to make it a priority to get that physical activity, strength training, whatever it might be. I'm a big fan of the weights, but it will literally change. Like that's how you manage the stress, and it's how you're going to be more productive for the rest of your day too.
Yeah, so good, and something we can all easily incorporate. And I want to really touch on your faith because I know that's really important for you. And Micah actually shared on our episode together how when you guys were first meeting, you asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" And that was like for me hearing it, like that's an interesting question. Like it really shows like how important that is and a core value for your life. And that got me wondering, how would you describe your relationship with Jesus?
Oh, well, now it's beautiful. It's like he's my best friend, you know, and it's, you know, sometimes people they look at me and Micah and they'll say that we're religious, and I know from like a world standpoint, it's like that's how they take it. For me, it's about relationship, and it's just I came to know Jesus as my savior when I was young. It was part of my family. It was all kind of part of my growing up. And so faith for me was very easy from a young age. And then kind of after that period of time where my parents got divorced, I questioned my faith. I started trying out all of these other things. I was trying out, you know, new age stuff where it's all about me and I'm the God and, you know, and it's all of those things just to, you know, boost my own ego. I didn't go to church for, you know, I just kind of ran away from it because it was just hurt and pain and, you know, and I call them my ding dong years. So I had probably a span of 20, like 7 or 8 years that I call my ding dong years, where, you know, I was a young kid and I was just running from the Lord and ignoring him. And I always just think of it as like, he always had me. And it was like, I always knew he was there, but I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, don't need you. I'm good. I got this. And I always like think of it as like, he kind of had just like one hand behind me, just like any stupid choices I made, he was like, no, you're not going to go too far. So he kept me from making any really destructive choices with my life. And then probably my late 20s, I started, all this stuff was not fulfilling to me. And it was like, pride and arrogance were growing in me. And it was like all of this stuff when it's all about me and it's all about me. For one, I can't do like, there's gonna be a letdown if you think everything is about you. And he was just like, hey, I am right here. Like, you got to turn your eyes back to me. And so I started turning my eyes back to him. And I had dated guys that didn't share my faith. And it always ended in like, where's this going? You know, because ultimately, I knew that that was going to be important for my future. So he just started working on my heart and just pulling me back and just being like, hey, I've got something for you. I have a path for you. I'm here for you. Like, it's not all about you. And when I turned my eyes back to the Lord and surrendered to him, it's kind of been this beautiful growth journey over the last almost 20 years to where now it's like, I know Jesus. Like, and it's like people, it's like, it's not this, it's like I know him. And I'll say this real quick. There's a in the movie Elf, you know how Buddy the Elf knows Santa Claus, and he's like, so it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Like, Buddy knows Santa personally. So when he goes down and everybody's like, oh, you're crazy because you believe in Santa, he's like, I know him. Like, we're friends. And there's nothing you can say or do to convince Buddy the Elf that Santa doesn't exist because he knows him. Like, he personally has a relationship with him. And Craig Rochelle did the whole sermon on this, and I was like, that's it. It's like when you know him and he there's a conversation, and it like it doesn't matter like what anybody else says. Try to be like, this is it's like, I know him, so I know who he is. I know he is real. I know what he did for me. And it's such a strong, solid foundation for both Micah and I. So when I met him, I had already made a commitment to the Lord that I was never even going to date if someone wasn't already on the same page as me. And it wasn't going to be, oh well, maybe I can change them, you know, like, no. Like, foundationally, they had to be on the same page. So when I met Micah, I was like, oh, I like him. And I'm like, I gotta know, because it's a deal breaker for me. And I don't want to even go there if we're not on the same page. And so, yeah, so within 24 hours of meeting him, I was like, gotta know. Do you know Jesus? And thankfully, the answer was yes. And then we've been able to build from there. But yeah, thanks for asking that question.
Yeah, no, I love hearing about it too because I actually I'm 25 now, but I went through the first like 24 years of ding dong years myself where I'm just constantly pushing it off, rejecting it. My mom, she always tried to get me into it at a younger age, but growing up with an alcoholic father, I always felt that the world was against me and that why would God put me in this type of situation? And it wasn't until the years afterwards where I was able to grow, mature, and be like, wow, this all prepared me for the next thing. If I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be as resilient as I am now to get through these challenges that were even harder to go through, like with my health situation. So I'll just look at it as a blessing in disguise now. But when you're going through those really tough times, like it can be hard to see how this can all be working in your favor. And you just go into this negative mindset. But for me, since I've been, it actually was that February trip in New York, Heather Monahan got me into faith and I got my Bible for the first time. And, things have been just miraculously coming together since there. And I've been seeing exponential growth. And it's crazy how so many faith-filled people are in my life now, like you, Micah, Marcus. Like, I almost got like a super trio team right there. But it's so amazing. And you guys are all just like sharing your faith, and it's getting me to think about things in different ways. And I'm just learning through being in proximity. Like, I'm not necessarily having conversations all the time about it. I am on these podcasts, but I just like to listen and see how you guys have been doing it for 20 years and just like what's that relationship like? Because I hated the religion side of it. Like, I would always just see hypocrites. And now it's like the relationship, that's what matters. It's the one-on-one to me. So I don't necessarily have to go to a church as long as I read the book, as long as I just communicate and have that relationship. That's what matters to me at this stage in my life. So the more that I'm seeing that, that's a way to do it, like, that's totally fine. There's no rules to any of this. It's just, having that open communication. Now it's like, oh, well, now I lean on them for this. I lean on them for this. And it's become like a foundational pillar, just like you have in your life.
Yeah, I love that for you. And I just want to encourage you, just keep that leaning in. And it's just keep getting to know him better. And it doesn't mean like a relationship with the Lord doesn't mean that our lives are like peachy keen and perfect and nothing happens. But what it means is that we have this relationship and this rock and this foundation that even when there's storms, we get to have peace and we get to have joy. And even through storms and even through tough times, like I have learned the lesson of surrender so much over just probably the last decade of my life. It's like it's just surrendering things to him and knowing that the outcome that he has for us is going to be so much better than anything I can even dream up. And as an entrepreneur, it's hard for me sometimes to not be like, here's what I want. Here's the vision that I want all these things to happen. And it's like he has to keep working on me of like, I see you. I put dreams and visions into your heart, but give them to me and let me make them how I need them to be. And it's like, I'm like, well, I put it down. Okay, surrender it. And then I'm like, okay, but I'm gonna pick it back up. Okay, no, I gotta put it down. So that's my constant lesson. And it's just this constant progression and journey. And I think I still have so much to learn and I have so much growing to do. And it's just, but I know him so well. And it just I want you to know him better. And you're just on that beautiful path too. And I love that and encourage you to just keep leaning in and encourage your viewers too. Like, if you don't know him, hey, why not get to know him?
Exactly. Yeah, and the first step for me was to really surrender my doubts. Like, similar to you, like, I like more certainty. I like to know outcomes, and the idea of just surrendering in general, like, I don't like that. Like, I just have a conflict against that. So for me, just like last year, that was the first thing. I was like, okay, I'm gonna decide to surrender my doubts and just lean in. And whenever like a hesitation would come up, I'd think, that can't happen, or whatever the case, these doubts, I'm just like, nope, we're not gonna do that anymore. That's the old pattern. We're changing this, we're adopting a new story, we're having a new relationship, and we're gonna think new thoughts now. And so that's just been the way that I've been doing it. And again, not easy at all for someone that just doesn't like to do those types of things, but it's been so helpful for me just going forward. And I truly do just encourage everyone out there to just lean in a little bit more, whatever your belief system are, just lean in a little bit more. Like, you don't have to do this on your own. That's something that I tried to do for 24 years, and it's so much better when you just open up and you do this together.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's the thing is he's there. He's right there,
Always.
you know? So get to know him.
Yeah, and I asked I got another question as we start to wrap things up here. I asked Micah the same thing, and I think it's fitting since you guys are pretty much in the same boat with your businesses here. So I'm curious, how do you balance, your business and health? I know your business is a health business, like with the gyms and everything, but how do you like maintain the business side to keep growing, but also maintaining like your health that you have to set those standards in place? And he's mentioned about waking up at 3 a.m. A lot of people like, yeah, exactly. So it's like,
I
what
don't get
works
up
for
that
you?
early. So I kind of look at it a little bit different perspective too, is like we have our foundational disciplines, like and we know we can't function and do our best in anything else in our businesses, in our personal relationship if we don't have those foundational disciplines. So for each of us, I don't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's his flow. Like I'm a little bit late. I'm a slower in the morning, you know, but I have my time that is my devotion time, my workout time. But I don't look at it as like balanced, like everything's going to be just perfect and centered all of the time either. So I kind of think of it as, you know, everything we do, it starts with our faith is like our foundation for everything that we do. But then I'm think of everything is in kind of these buckets where it's like, you know, you got Hitch Fit, you got the gyms, you got Soul Fit, you got conference, you got projects that we're working on in a relationship. So there's all of these buckets in our lives. And they're not all going to be the exact same level all of the time. So it's having discernment, which comes from our faith foundation. It's like discernment, wisdom from the Lord of like where does our attention need to go right now? And so it's kind of this moving of the buckets, like here's our thing that's pouring into the bucket. So it's kind of making sure that we're shifting these things so that nothing gets totally empty. Because if something gets totally empty, whether that's our health or our relationship with each other or one of the businesses, if that gets too empty, if that gets completely dried out, then we're in trouble. If I can shift my attention here and then I get to shift my attention back here to make sure that everything's kind of staying, you know, in a good place and maybe I've got overflow in certain situations. But that's how I think of it more than just everything's just same amount of attention all of the time. That's not realistic. Like there's times when Hitch Fit needs more attention. There's times when Soul Fit needs more attention. There's times we're really good about our relationship time. We're together all the time, but we also like we just went on a date night last night. So we're like we just take that time to go do something fun. It's just us together, and so we just can stay connected. But yeah, that's how I see it more as just a discernment of the shifting, so that we don't want anything getting completely empty in our lives. So it's just we have to make sure that we're keeping an eye on all of the things and just shifting the priorities where we need to shift them to.
Yeah, and I think that's really smart because there's a saying that you're only as strong as your weakest link. So you mentioned how you're gonna make sure that no bucket gets too low because that can compromise, your entire system here. So that's such a good reminder. And just for me, like it feels like, or it seems like a lot just seeing how much you guys got going on, all your businesses, but then the way that you guys like systemize it and know that it is adaptable. Some things are going to require more time and energy than others at certain seasons and different points. So it's just being adaptable and knowing and having that faith, like, hey, God, what do we need now? please guide us, give us the direction. That can go a very long way. So something that I'm looking to adopt more in my life as well is just get some more clarity and direction and know that, I don't have to do it all on my own. I can ask for the guidance and have, the best CEO up top up there.
Yes, love
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, so now let's talk about SoulFit's retreat real quick here. I'm curious, just for anyone listening, hear it for the first time, like what are these retreats about? And then what do you personally love most about them?
Oh, well, so SoulFit Retreats is our it's our newer business. It's the business that we do the retreats and the conferences through. And I feel like when I look at this as a picture, it's like we've had Hitch Fit for 15 years where we've been working with people on changing lifestyle habits and going through physical transformation, which we know also creates these mental and emotional transformations that happen within them too. And SoulFit is the retreats are a place where we actually just get to dig in deeper with people. We create these experiences that are faith and fitness is our foundation. Anybody is welcome to join us. Like we're just bold about where we are with our faith, but literally anybody can join us. It's not a situation where like everybody has to come in and believe exactly. Like we invite anybody to come in and be a part of this. We're always going to be bold with where we're at. So it's our faith and our fitness. So we work out together. That's a big part of the retreats. But again, people come in all different fitness levels. Sometimes people are like, oh, but you guys are in great shape. And I'm like, well, we're supposed to be. Like, you wouldn't go to a financial retreat with someone who's broke, you know? So we're the leaders. And so we should be leading with excellence in the areas that we're leading in. So some people come in and they use the retreats as a means of, hey, I'm going to get in great shape to come to this retreat and lay that as the foundation for the future. Some people come in because they want to be a part of this community where they can get some motivation and some inspiration and some encouragement to start a fitness journey. So we actually have people of all different fitness levels, all different ages that join us. We have both couples and we have singles. We have a lot of people who are business people, entrepreneurs. That's kind of who we're attracting. But if we create spaces where this is my new thing that I just kind of came up with a couple of weeks ago that I'm like, that's what it is. We create safe spaces where love thrives and where wounds are healed. So we come in and through faith and fitness, we're also creating opportunities for the people on the retreat to share their stories, to share their stuff. So these aren't retreats where it's like, hey, everybody's perfect. Everything's perfect in my life. I got it all together. We come in and we like go in. Like we create this, we have one event called Voices in the Villa, which is a chance for everyone that's there to share. And they could share something as simple as here's where I'm from. This is, I got this many kids and this many cats or whatever. But what we've seen is when we create these spaces, people are sharing about really tough stuff. We're talking addiction and abuse and traumas that they've gone through. And they share like with this community of people that this is what I'm going through because they know they're going to be loved on. And so the rest of the treat is unbelievable because now I know what you're struggling with. Now I know what your tough thing is. And now I know where I can encourage you and I can listen to you. And so our goal with every single retreat, every single thing we do is for everyone to feel seen, to feel safe, and to feel like they can share their stuff. Because what we've seen in transformation world and what we've been talking about, if we don't dig into that stuff, we're not going to have that true transformation that will be lasting. So it's kind of like taking what we've done with Hitch Fit and now it's like, now we're going deeper. We're creating these more intimate experiences where, yeah, we have a ton of fun and we work out and we do awesome things, but we also dig in deep. And that's why people are walking away from these things like it's literally life-changing. And so we've done the Mexico retreats, we've done our adventure retreat. We just had our first conference and then our next Mexico retreat's coming up May 30th to June 3rd. And it's going to be unbelievable. We've already got we're about half full as far as capacity of people on that trip and just incredible people. And it's just building that community. So we're super excited for the future of it. But we invite anybody that is just looking for community, looking for a place to just dig in and be better and meet amazing people and level things up in your life, whether it's your faith, your fitness, relationships, business, whatever it is, then I would say join us. It's absolutely incredible. And we can't wait to see where the Lord leads it in the years to come.
Yeah, it just sounds so amazing and just such a life-changing, healing experience that, can truly just change the entire trajectory of your life. Like, nothing's gonna be the same after you go through and you unravel some of those wounds, and you just see life and experience life from a new angle now. So I love that you guys are doing that, and I love that I'm gonna get involved and be a part of it as well. So it's just so cool. And last question before we wrap things up here. I always like asking this one to people, getting different perspectives. What's been the greatest lesson or piece of advice received that has made the biggest impact on you?
Biggest lesson. I kind of like this is just one thing I like to sum things up with is the biggest lesson for me was when I recognized that I was on a path that was not leading me to where I wanted to be in my life. I changed the path. I got on a different path. That was a huge, huge lesson for me. So my encouragement to people is just to take a look at the path that you're on. Take a look at the choices that you're making right now and where does that path lead? It's not hard to figure out where our paths lead because we can look around at other people and see these were the things that they did. This is where that path led them. So if you take a look at the choices you're making in your life, how things are going right now, and if you're headed in the direction you want to be, if you want to go, and if those choices are going to lead you to a place that you want to be, then stay on that path. Then you're on the right path. But if you take a look at those things and honestly take a look at them and can be like, if I continue with this, this is where it takes me. And that's not where I want to be. And that's not where I want to end up. If you can honestly take a look at that and it's not where you want to be, then get on a different path. Like that's, we got to just get on the path that's going to take you where you actually want to be.
That's so good because it truly does come down to having that radical responsibility and accountability to look at your situation like that. But then it's also very liberating to know that you have the power to just make different choices and change the entire direction that you're heading. So you guys can truly take that to practice. Just look at your life. What are the things you're doing? Where's this taking you? And is that a place you want to go? And if not, take some of the tools that you guys heard in this conversation and let us know exactly like what you guys put to place. I would love to hear. I know Diana would too. So definitely reach out to us to let us know like how these tools are, you guys are implementing them to transform your lives. And before we hop out of here, I would love to know how we can support you as well. You talked about the SoulFit retreat. We got your books as well, so drop a book here so we can get involved more and just anything that you're excited about going forward.
I think I would just encourage anybody, if you're looking for help with transformation, that's what we're here for. Hitchfit.com is our main website where you'll find links to online training, links to my books, a lot of that thing. So if anything resonated and we are good, or I am a good fit, or Micah's a good fit, we'd love to help in that way. And SoulFit Retreats, yeah, it's if you're looking for that community and that next level, we'd love to dig in with you there too. And it's soulfitretreats.com is the site for the retreats and to come and join us for those.
Awesome. And where are you at on social media most often these days so we can get in touch?
My main page is at Diana Chaloux,
Okay.
DianaChaloux. That's my main page. But we also have, we're not hard to find. If you look up HitchFit or SoulFit, like you can pretty much find myself or Micah pretty easily.
Awesome. So you guys heard her. You guys can go find her very easily. Tap into those tools to transform your life. So, Diana, thank you so much for blessing us today with your inspiring story and uplifting energy. I just love the positivity that you radiate with. You gave us some great tools and really to be the catalyst to spark our faith and fitness transformation. So, thank you so much for extending your wisdom, kindness, positivity. It truly shines hope on the world and makes it a brighter and better place. So, thank you so much for joining us today and impacting us as well.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. I've really enjoyed it and appreciate you and all that you're doing.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the NovaFusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive Nova Fusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back, so you have absolutely nothing to lose but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to novafusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.